The reading this morning is Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord.
Yes, it should have been Dave here this morning, as I said earlier. And so it was only Wednesday morning I had the confirmation it was me. Have you been in that situation sometimes where you've just had that little niggle? Well, all Tuesday morning, I'd had this niggle. I'd already had an email from Dave. He'd sent it to all the leadership team saying, I've tested positive. Can anybody step in for Sunday morning? And over the period of a couple of hours, these emails kept coming saying, sorry, my workload is too heavy. I can't do it. I'm preaching somewhere else, or I'm not here. There was all these different reasons. And all the same, I kept hearing this little voice, make yourself available. So by the afternoon, when I got home from Arcot House, that's what I did, make myself available. But then, of course, the doubts start coming. And I thought, oh, I haven't had a reply. But Wednesday morning, there was a text, thank you for the offer. Then, what did I preach on? I decided in the end to stick to Dave's topic, which is this, Psalm 1. And I'm sure he would have delivered it very different to me. And the New Living Translation says, oh, the joys of the Lord who do not follow the advice of the wicked, etc., etc. Well, as you know, this is the first psalm, and it's the first of a new series that Dave was going to start off today for the summer on favorite psalms. And just as each one of us have a favorite psalm, there's a choice. There's 150 of them. To make it easy, they're divided into five books. And this first book is the first 41 Psalms. And it's about human beings and the creation. Well, that should interest us. Because who are we? We are God's creation. And we, I hope, are all human beings. And so it is that we look at this psalm, which starts in most versions as blessed, happy. Now, if I was to ask some of our younger congregation, what makes you happy? I wonder what replies I'd get. What makes you happy, Freddie? Oh, earphones. What about Harry? Does something make you happy? Oh, ask Barnaby. Oh, what makes you happy? You don't know. Oh, well, I thought I'd have been hearing things like ice cream, computer games, a new games console, or even summer holidays. Well, I wonder what your answer is. What makes you happy? What makes you tick? What's your passion? What makes you think I'm blessed? Well, I'm going to ask, do you want to be those people who are happy and blessed? I hope so, because here, blessed are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. So, we have some choices. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Well, who is blessed and who is not blessed? We have two contrasts here. So there needs to be a choice. And I'm going to suggest this morning that you need to be thinking, what's my choice? Now, you may notice in that first verse, it talks about walking, standing, and sitting. So thinking of walking, well, who do you seek advice from? Who do you go to when you have a problem? Who do you seek out for advice? Is it the wicked? Who are your close buddies that you trust? When we're on the go, what direction are we going? Or what type of people are we going along the path with? You know, if you're going walking with somebody, you have to really agree. Because you need to be step by step. Otherwise, there's no point in somebody being right over there in Cardiff and you're trying to have a walk and a conversation. Impossible. You need to be together if you want the advice. So where are you going to seek that advice? Who are you going to walk with? Well, maybe on that walk you stop still and you stand. Just like sometimes on a street corner, you see people gathering, talking. Who are you going to hang around with? What sort of places are you actually going to go to? And the other question is, where have you stopped still? And why did you stop? Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Right. So there's a choice. Walking, standing with who? And then, of course, often when you're standing, you want to sit. And some of the versions do talk about sitting. To actually sit down, you have to be intentional. There has to be a place, a provision for you to sit. Just consider those things. Walking, standing, sitting. Who are you sitting there with? Is it the mockers? There's a very interesting word in Hebrew for mockers, and it's called sed. I hope there's nobody here called sed. But sed is a fool, an arrogant fool. It's somebody who won't be disciplined, won't have somebody tell them the proper way because they think they know best. Just think back. Do you want to learn? What do you want to learn? Is it from these fools? Sitting. Some of you are probably can remember in school if somebody came into the classroom, you all stood up until you were told to sit down again. I wonder what that concept was. Somebody younger or somebody in authority or somebody older came into that room and you stood up, you were basically saying, the authority is yours. I shouldn't be sitting down. You should. So if we're sitting, we're giving that person we're sitting with some authority. So do we want to give the mocker authority? I hope not. I think we need to consider who else we can give that authority to. And we all know that Jesus invites us to sit at his feet. If I was to ask you, walking around with the Bible down the street, is it easy to read it? Probably not. You might tumble. You might break an arm. But so often, how do we come to Jesus? Do we come really concentrating on his word? And this next verse, this second verse says, he delights in the law of the Lord and meditates day and night. He delights in the law of Jesus. He delights and meditates on the words of Jesus. That word, meditate, to murmur, to read aloud, to, as the cow takes the food in and, I can't think of the English word, chupano, and just choose the cud, thinking over, do we treat God's word that way? It's so easy to have the TV on or the phone going and you're doing something else. How easy it was in lockdown, we couldn't come to church, but we could have church. But how many of you, like me, were tempted while the sermon was on to go and put the kettle on or to go and switch the stove on? And we might have just missed that gem that Jesus wanted to infuse into our hearts for that morning. So my challenge this morning is, are we willing and ready to really sit with Jesus, to really meditate on his law, to really think about it, to really take in what he is saying to us? Just like that small niggle I had on Tuesday morning. Make yourself available. Perhaps if we had been busy in Arca's house like the previous weeks, but because of the heat, a lot of people didn't come, I could hear it. I was sat down. But sometimes it is that busyness that stops us really hearing. Do you remember Mary? Not just Mary. Do you remember Martha? What a contrast. choices contrast again. Walk, stand, sit. And what did Jesus say about Mary? She had chosen the best. She sat down. And you know, it's so easy. We can look and see. So often in the Old Testament scripture, which is what the Israelites had. You know, they'd got the Psalms, which had come into being over a period of years. All 150 of them. Some written by David, some by other people. But they were grounded in the law. And what was the law? They were told in a couple of verses in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, and I would encourage you, go home, but at the same time, remember, Jesus came to fulfill the law. What is the law? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. But what were they told? Repeat them again and again to your children. This is verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6. Talk about them when you are at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you are getting up. And in fact, there is one version that does says, talk about them while you're sitting down. So it was inclusive. It invaded every area of our life from morning till night. I'm not suggesting we have to sit and read all day, though some of us might like to do that occasionally. But meditate, regurgitate, consider, think, what has God said to us today as we go through the day? Delight in the Lord of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. And if it really is inclusive to our daily lives, it will really, really affect us. How will it affect us? We have the choice. What a challenge. How can we accept that challenge if we take the advice of the wicked? How can we if we stand around with sinners? How can we if we accept the mockery of the mockers? It's only as we allow Jesus to be our teacher. Because he knows, he understands us. Why? Because he is our creator. And just to remind us, we were made in their image. That's what Genesis 1 says. We are made in the image of God. So we need to be able to not walk with the sinners, not stand with those sinners, not join in with the mockers, but delight in the Lord. And fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him and serve him with all our hearts. And accept that challenge to be before people the salt and the light that we need to be to today's society. So there is that walking, standing, sitting. But on the reverse side, we can sit with Jesus. And then the next step is having learnt to sit with Jesus, we can stand. But I'd like to read a poem, or part of a poem, by the sister-in-law of an ex-colleague of mine. She herself had worked in Africa, but is married to a pastor in Northern Ireland, though they probably are retired by now. And this is about Mary and Martha. "Here he is," the cry went up, "the Lord is here." And Martha rushed to welcome all her friends. "Bring them to the courtyard at the back. Make sure all 12 disciples had a seat, and bring the bowl and towels for their feet." She flew outside to stir the cooking pot, filled to the brim the empty water jars. And on it goes. But late that night, when all had gone to rest, Jesus looked at Martha, gently smiled. He saw beneath the anger Martha's loving heart, and simply said in mild rebuke, "Your sister Mary chose the better part." But late that night, when all had gone to rest, Martha sat reflecting on her day. She served the Lord a meal and washed his feet, but couldn't bring to mind one thing he had said. She listened then to Mary as she spoke of all the joys and wonder of his word, and how her spirit burned within her as she worshipped and adored her Lord. As we meditate, it turns into worship. But also, as we stand, we're invited to stand in that firm, solid place of safety. I don't think you more than I want to stand still in a bog, or in sinking sand, or on a moving landslide. I can tell you it's not easy. It's not easy even to walk across it. But Jesus invites us to stand firm for him, to stand in truth, for truth, to stand in safety. So, where are we going to sit, walk, and stand this morning? The place is perhaps not the most important, but finding the opportunity is. What does the psalmist say? We're like trees that have a good water supply, not shriveled up. I think you know what happens in the heat. Monday and Tuesday showed many of us. Like my poor sweet peas this week. Lack of water, lack of refreshment, they shriveled. Of a pile of shriveled up leaves. But very different to my well cared for tomatoes. Or those evergreen trees. And the Lord says, he will guide us continually, giving us water when we're dry and restoring our strength. That's from Isaiah. So, brothers and sisters, the choice is yours. Are you feeling dry this morning? Possibly, possibly not. What is your choice this morning? For some of you, it may be that you've never come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, and you need to consider that. But for others of you, like me, our choice might be that we need to consider being closer to Jesus, having a deeper walk with him, finding time to sit and listen and hear. But some might be thinking, well, if I spend that extra time, what will happen to the chores? Just consider Mary and Martha, and then Martha's reaction and what she saw in Mary's life. Maybe there's a fear, if I spend time meditating, what will God say to me? What challenge will he bring? The choice is yours. But my encouragement to you is, don't be afraid. Let him have his way. Let's pray. Fear not, my child, to enter his presence. He wants to speak. He needs your ear. Will you hold back in the shadows or enter into that place of quiet and of nestling near, resting, waiting? Will you hear his heartbeat? Will you hear his song today? Fear not, my child, to hear his love message for you today. Fear not to speak and act according to his direction. And trust him. Find your place in freedom from both fear and guilt. Find your place of love. Find that place and time for refreshment, sitting in the arms of Jesus. Amen. As we close, may I just remind you that if God's spoken to you and you need to speak to somebody and pray together, do. But just to also encourage us from Philippians, I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus returns. So may God shower his peace upon you, friends. May blessings of faith and love fill our hearts from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. May God's abundant grace be eternally upon us this week. Let's say the words of the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.